Welcome to The Right Chamber. I'm Victor.
And I'm Jasprit. It feels like everyone's talking about Ozempic and Mounjaro at the moment, but how much do people actually know about these medications?
They've become known as weight loss jabs, but they were originally developed to treat diabetes, and there's a lot more to the story.
Today, we're joined by diabetes consultant Dr. Haroon Sadiq to explain how these medications work, who they're really for, and why they're definitely not a quick fix.
We'll also separate fact from fiction, look at the benefits and risks, and answer some of the biggest questions people have about these increasingly talked about drugs.
Let's get into it.
Dr. Haroon Sadiq is a consultant in diabetes and endocrinology with interests in young adult diabetes and diabetic foot disease. A principal investigator in international research studies, he is passionate about teaching and training. He serves as Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Birmingham and Deputy Director of Medical Education at the Dudley Group.
Hi there, I'm Haroon Sadiq. I'm a consultant in diabetes and endocrinology. I'm also the Deputy DME for the Trust.
Oh, lovely to meet you, sir.
Lovely to meet you too.
So, diabetes, endocrinology, and where specifically within that field do you specialize?
We have a bunch of consultants who all do pretty much a common general diabetes and endocrinology, me included. In addition, I'm the service lead for diabetes foot disease, young adult lead. I used to lead the inpatient diabetes service many years ago, which I don't do anymore. And the other hat is the education side of it, where I'm the deputy DMA of the trust, as I mentioned before.
What I'd like to go into first is in the realm of kind of diabetes and diabetic management. It is still one of the dominating kind of diseases in Western society, would say, because of our diet and level of activity and lots of things involved. But you must have seen many, many changes over the years in terms of therapeutics and how people kind of are improving and managing their illnesses and diabetes. Would you say so? Yes, of course.
It is interesting you mentioned that. I mean, it is common both in Western and Eastern world, more common the other side rather than Western world, because of genetic makeup, etc. As you mentioned about the medication, I used to remember my registrar days or early consultant days where we used to say, yes, you have diabetes. Diabetes is poorly controlled. You're overweight as well. I'm going to give a medication which is going to control the diabetes, but is going to put on weight. You can imagine the plight of the patient. What are you talking, doctor? Are you going to put on more weight? That's the question that comes up. But unfortunately, we didn't have much choice in those days. Any medication we throw in to control the blood sugar had a tendency to put on more weight. Those were the days.
So it's one of those conditions where medications are continually improving, I would say.
Yes.
What has been a popular choice recently?
Yeah, I mean, I guess around 2000, early 2008 or 9 or something like that, which was approved in UK medication. I can still imagine those days we were so excited to tell our patients, hey, listen, you're going to control our diabetes with a new medication, but the side effect is weight loss. A dramatic change, a game changer. That is what we initially called as a GLP-1 agonist, which is an additional medication which been in addition to we've been using the metformin and the sulfonylurea for years, the glitazones. These are some of the medications used for diabetes. Most of them are weight gaining agents, or some maybe weight neutral agents, and the insulin is always a weight gaining agent. So this one came as a game changer. Patients liked it. Of course, it had its early side effects, some side effects initially, but we mastered that with more improvement in technology in the later years. Yes.
Wow. Okay. So side effects of weight loss. I mean, for many people, that is not a side effect.
That's like a dream come true. Before we get into the mechanism of the certain drug, let's go back into how was this discovered?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I guess this has been on papers for very many years. I think in the early 1980s when they tried to look at a group of people who had diabetes and those who don't, what they tried to give them is sugar through glucose, we say, intravenously for one group and orally for the other group. What they found is the insulin, when they measured the insulin level was slightly higher in those people who had taken the glucose by mouth. So simply telling that something in the gut that is producing more insulin. And when they looked at the gut hormones as such, they thought maybe something called GLP-1 in the gut, which could be the reason for the excess insulin production that is keeping the sugar under control. And that's when the GLP thing came into light first, but it was shelved for quite some time until another scientist discovered it at a later year.
Oh, okay. So they found this GLP-1. It's heavily involved in that control of sugar. Okay. And which initial drug, did they come up with an initial drug?
Yeah, I mean, before going to that, I mean, how GLP-1 works is, so for it, you may have food, food goes into the tummy, glucose is released. As soon as the glucose is released, there the gut hormone called GLP and GIP, but GIP wasn't looked at for a long time. They get released and that puts the sugar down by increasing the insulin and decreasing something called glucagon. So we knew that in the early 90s, somewhere around that time. But when they tried to give that by mouth, by a product, it got immediately broken down. We need to find something that is not broken down. So interestingly, around the same time, another scientist made some weird discovery using through a lizard.
Lizard?
Yes. I think he's excessively obsessed with finding new hormones. And what was interesting is this lizard called Gila monster. This was found somewhere in South of America, north of Mexico, in the middle of the desert, Arizona desert. The way the lizard works, he got interested mainly because of the fact the lizard lives in the burrows for a very long time, 95% of the time. It comes out around 5% of the time, and when it comes out, it eats like something. Mm. It eats only 3 to 4 times a year, and eats so much that it eats about 1/3 of its body weight. Whoa. For someone to eat so much and not having a fatal glucose spikes is a bit rare, so he was extremely intrigued by it. He managed to get the saliva from that Gila monster and examined his lab and found a product called Exentin.
Mm.
And this Exentin was the first product which was marketed as a drug called Byetta. That was the first GLP-1, I believe somewhere in late 2000 it came to market. Of course, when you get a blueprint of any medication, it was eventually bioengineered, genetic engineering. And initially, it was a direct product from the lizard spit. Eventually, it's a bioengineered product. And that's what we use nowadays as Ozempic,
okay.
Mounjaro, etc.
So it just came from this person decides to stock lizards.
Observe the lizards.
finds... He's waited for this lizard to come out of the burrows for like months, and then manages to extract saliva and gave the world one of the greatest inventions.
Yes, you can imagine lizard spit is now a multi-million product.
Wow.
Ruling the corporate world.
It is used for diabetic patients.
Yes. Yeah.
And the side effect is weight loss.
That's right. I mean, so to understand this a little bit more, I guess we got to go into the mechanism of how it actually works. Let me put it in simple words. So when we are hungry, the hungry hormones are released. Ghrelin is released, and then we just crave for food. As soon as we eat food, glucose then releases a GLP-1, as I told you. And the GLP-1 tells the brain, I'm full. It's enough. When we give GLP-1 from outside, One mechanism is it tells the brain that it is full and you stop eating. So it's a gut-brain hijack, you can call that. The other mechanism is that the GLP-1 receptors are there in the brain as such. So you can imagine when you're celebrating or when you're sad, Bridget Jones sitting in front of the TV having a tub of ice cream. It's a comfort hormones are released. So when you have high calorie food, the dopamine is released, you're happy. And because the brain is already flooded with the GLP-1, those hormones are not released. So you don't have the craving for those kind of food. The third mechanism I would call is a direct effect from the tummy itself. Like when you're full, your tummy is full. If you eat more, you tend to feel nauseous. You feel sickly. So because it has a direct effect on the gut motility, it stops the food being digested quickly. It stays in the tummy for a long time. And it sends a signal to the brain, if you eat any more, I'll become sick. So these are some of the mechanisms. It also reduces your craving, therefore your addictions go low as well. So side effects come along with it.
So that's the mechanism of how it works. So several mechanisms in reducing appetite,
cravings,
and also then we get kind of the weight loss as a side effect of that. Okay. And how effective has it been on the market since this has been released for the purpose of the diabetic management?
Yes, it's very effective. But it was used as a diabetes medication add on to other medication. There's been some guidelines as to when to use it, how to use it, and so on by national agencies like NICE, which tells us about medication management, etc. But until late, we know it has power. It's like the boy knows the power, but he doesn't found the crystal mountain to know that he's a Superman. We didn't know that at that point that's going to be used as weight loss medication. The pharma companies are quite switched on. They know where the money is. And some modification and changes in the dose, etc. When it was used as a weight loss agent, it had made a dramatic, dramatic change.
Wow.
for weight for people across the world.
Mm. And that's why it's kind of taken the world by storm a little bit.
So do you think celebrities are taking it?
Yeah, all over the social
Everyone's
media.
It's like the new cult medication where everyone is on Ozempic.
Yeah.
Or Mounjaro.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What's the reason that it's taking the world by a storm? Like, why? Why is it? Yes, it's got weight loss effects. What else does it do?
The weight loss effect is quite pronounced. Weight loss medication have been tried in different forms. We've had various weight loss medications over the years, but either is not very effective or it may have a lot of side effects. That's been the case. So people researching on the weight loss medication have been trying to get a medication for years without much success, I would say. I mean, even if there's a success, it's only very minimal. This, because of the way it mimics the natural physiological response, but is exaggeration of the physiological response. So through that, you're not only able to feel full very quickly and therefore have the ill effects of weight gone by not eating. It burns the fat as well, especially the Mounjaro that you've just talked about, has a tendency to burn the fat, and the weight loss is quite quick and very obvious. That's why it attracted attention, especially when it's used by celebrities.
So it's a dramatic weight loss. Like any medication, surely it comes with side effects.
Surely.
Yeah. Any shortcuts has its own perils, you say. Yeah, of course, yes. It's a simple thing. Like when you have medication for fast heart rate, the side effect is slow heart rate. When you have medication for overactive thyroid, the side effect is underactive thyroid. Likewise, weight loss can itself be a problem. It not only takes the fat, it takes 35 to 40% of your
muscle
mass as well. So what we call in medical terms as sarcopenia or muscle wasting is quite pronounced. So the muscle that you built all these years to protect your joints is now going away slowly and steadily. So that is one of the major side effects. I told you before that we could, it also helps with craving and so on. So there are some pleasure hormones that we have, you know, because these pleasures are muted. So one can feel a bit dull, demotivated, lack of sex drive and many other drives has the side effects with these medication. When it slows down the muscle activity, it slows down the muscle of every single part, including your gut. So gut motility is reduced and side effects come along with it, including nausea, vomiting, sometimes obstruction as well. Mm-hmm. Also, the most and important one, which people tend to forget, is what we call as pancreatitis. It is a serious condition. It can be a killer. Mm-hmm. So as medical professional, we always check the bloods. We go through the patient history, we understand what they are and use the medication for the right patient at the right time. Unfortunately, when it is used by general public, they wouldn't know about all these things and may not know when to seek help.
Yeah.
But surely your medical practitioner has to prescribe it.
Yeah, with all the side effects you've just mentioned and mentioned about monitoring, so surely it's got to be tightly controlled.
Of course, it should be. There's no doubt about it. But it is freely available for everyone. They have put in some measures in place lately, but you and me can just order it.
So it's available over the counter?
It is available over the counter. You can order it through internet, but we're putting something in your body. We need to know how good it is.
Yeah.
It is always best to be guided by the healthcare professionals in case things may go wrong with it.
So you need monitoring if you're on this drug.
Of course, yes.
Of course, if you're ordering it over the counter, there's no one to monitor you.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. There's no one to monitor you. I can see where the people would want, because they've tried various methods over the years and get dejected with no improvement. They want a quick fix. They see things on the internet.
We like everything quick and quick results as well, you know. Gym takes a while.
It takes a while. So some people can like slim me down like 2 weeks. Why not? So I've got a question. Say someone decides that you can buy Ozempic over-the-counter, Mounjaro over-the-counter. They're usually healthy in a sense. They want a dramatic weight loss. So once they've achieved that weight loss, can they stop it?
Very good question. I'll just go back to the previous thing that you were commenting before asking this question, is celebrities using medication and so on. These celebrities showcasing themselves is their life. So even before going on these medications, they go to gym, they look after themselves, they do resistant exercise for all these muscles. And then they take this medication, hence it may not have a great impact on them when they come off these medication because the muscles are already strong. Having said that, I'm not sure. We've got to see how things pan out. But a common man who's trying to find ends meet, working hard throughout the day, cannot go to gym and just want to get this medication, may not be able to have the time to go to the gym or may not have the money to go to the gym, and no muscle resistance, no resistance exercise, and hence muscle loss are quite pronounced. Sitting in the conferences for people who deal with more extensively than me, and the answer is you can never come off this medication. Of course, we've seen people who come off these medications. The problem we have is when you lose the weight, as I told you, you lose 30 to 40% of your muscle mass and the rest are fat that is lost. But when you stop and not do much about it, what you gain is 100% fat. So the weight gain is quite quick as well when you stop these medication. But having said that, some people can use as a shift in their thought process about food. And very motivated, and they know what they're going to do before going on to this medication. It's only time that's going to tell. how quick their weight gain is and how healthy they are in the long run.
Okay, so it does have some effect physically, but you also have to have a kind of mental shift if the reasoning was primarily for weight loss, because when you do come off it, there has to be some lifestyle adaptations that you've made in order to either maintain your muscle mass to prevent that 100% fat coming back. Otherwise, it sounds like you might end up in a worse off health-wise position than initially if all the weight comes back in fat.
Absolutely, yes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a magic medication. I would really say yes, it is. But it has to be used for the right person at the right time, started by the right people as well for the right purpose. When you stop those medication, yes, you become worse off if preventive measures are not taken, as you've rightly quoted.
And I'm assuming this magic medication is not cheap over the counter either.
So you do
have to stay on it forever.
Yes.
It's probably not financially good for your pockets.
Yes, rightly said as well. But every medication loses patency with time, so we do not know what's going to be in the horizon. Having said that, some development has happened with using oral medication as well. We need to see the effect of it in the long run. But it'll be a good idea for it to be prescribed by a healthcare practitioner for the right patient.
Yeah. And that way you can have the correct monitoring. As you said, right patient, meaning that there's a screening that happens beforehand in terms of your past medical history, what maybe diseases that you're predisposed to or family history and all these things. Perhaps someone already has a family history of pancreatitis that occurs, occurs, or they have a personal history of pancreatitis, so they might be at a higher risk. So all these things would ideally should be looked at before then prescribing and starting on the medication. But rather than just kind of going and Googling and then just...
Yes. How you can get it up.
Rightly summarized. Rightly summarized, yes. Absolutely, yes.
So Ozempic and Mounjaro, the gateway to looking like a sad celebrity. But in the right hands, it is very beneficial. If you are monitored, you have a change in your mindset, it can actually get you on the healthy pathway.
Yes, you could say that, but every attempt you make to lose weight, unless the mindset and the consistency is not there, forget about this medication, anything that you've tried in the past. If it is not maintained, it is not consistent, the problem comes back.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's
the same
vengeance.
Thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Sometimes
we're
it's
just
a vengeance. 100%
fat instead.
Yes.
Yeah. Same for, going on a big diet, going on a big diet craze or something that you see online, or joining, just making a drastic change in lifestyle that's maybe isn't very sustainable for that person. Upon stopping it, the chances are you will just go back to where you were. So I think the point for, I guess, anyone who is trying to lose weight and reach a healthier weight, live a healthier lifestyle, isn't just the target of the weight, but as you said, the mindset that needs to be changed. So sustainable and changes that you can maintain over a long, lifelong, we should be healthy, isn't it? So it's something you can actually maintain. Then perhaps something like the Mounjaro can just be like a boost in that to see or maybe encourage or trigger something in the brain to say, yes, I can do this, rather than complete or sole reliance on.
That's true. That's where there's a lot of filter mechanism plays. I mean, I do not personally prescribe these medications for weight related reasons because I'm a diabetes specialist, but weight specialists who prescribe this have got a lot of steps in place. A psychological element is assessed to see whether the person is able to lose weight by themselves without the use of this medication, to see their motivation, they've been referred to dietitians to see whether they can alter the diet and show the healthcare professional that they can lose weight. These measures are not done just for the sake of doing it. There's a reason behind it. In order to maintain consistency in the long run, we need to develop a habit right at the outset.
So, Jean, this is why over-the-counter medication is quite popular, because if you go to your GP and ask for it,
yes,
there's loads of steps
to go through. You have to meet some criteria.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And your GP might be, have you tried this first? And some people might be at their end, so they just look for the easiest option, which is over-the-counter.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, those measures are put in place to keep the patient safe, right?
Safe.
To make sure you actually do meet the criteria of someone who can benefit from this in a safe, safe manner.
But as it goes back again to the same theme. You know, whatever you do, you got to, if you have an end in sight and say, I'm going to, when I lose this weight, I'm okay. When I achieve this, I'm okay. If you have that sort of mindset, it's going to be hard. As is, consistency is the key. And that is not easy to get as well. Because everybody wants to see the light at the end of the tunnel and just forget about. And then carry on with their lives. But this is consistency, hard work. And we have to maintain that throughout the life.
So yes, Ozempic, Mounjaro, it isn't just a, like, you know, a cheat code. Some mindset changes have to be made. Some lifestyle changes have to be made in order to make this a sustainable thing to do. And also the not neglecting the importance of your physician's input is also something that's very, very important. So I think that's about summarizes.
I guess so.
Summarizes everything. Brilliant. Do you have any final thoughts?
I would say I'm not here to discourage this medication. This is a wonderful discovery. There's no doubt about it. But it has to be used by the, it has to be prescribed by the right person and for the right purpose. And as I said, once again, it's the lifestyle and exercise, diet cannot be replaced by these new additions.
Thank you so much for coming on
to
the Right Chamber. It's been amazing to have you here. And I'm sure this has been a very, very interesting episode as well for our viewers and listeners. So for everybody listening, as always, I'm sure you've picked something up, something new that you've learned. But yes, do interact with us. If you have a question, something you're not sure about, do interact with us on the various platforms. So we will leave you there on this hot, hot episode.
And we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.